Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 240th episode of The Simple Sophisticate on this last day of 2018. I am very excited for 2019, but I also am so thankful for what this year has enabled me to experience and share with you here on the podcast, on the blog, and so many different other mediums. Now, today is the last day of sharing top episodes of the first three seasons of this podcast. We are currently in season five, and the previous 2 weeks I shared the top episode from season one, and then last week, which would be episode 239, I shared the top episode of season two. Today, I'm sharing the top episode of season three, and I specifically chose this one because it was in the top five, because as we're starting the new year, I think a lot of us are trying to figure out how to make simple changes that can make a great difference in the quality of our lives. Now, the top episode that I'm going to share today is episode 164, titled The Importance of a Daily Routine and How to Create One You Love. Now, this is something I drilled down in much more specificity in my new book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Becoming Your Best Self. But this is a great introduction into what you're going to find in the book. So I wanted to share that with you because with these seven aspects of cultivating a daily routine that we sincerely enjoy when we wake up in the morning, which, by the way, I was reading an article yesterday. No, I was reading a book yesterday that I'm picking up, that I picked up in preparation for beginning 2019's podcast episodes. And it spoke about the power of being a morning person with regards to the power of being on how it affects our lives. And one little simple thing he shared was that when we enjoy our days, when we enjoy the day that's in front of us, it makes it far more easier to get up, if we're not already, in the morning, early, bright, and set an awesome tone for the day. But we have to have a day that we want to live, that we sincerely enjoy living, that we cultivate and we thoughtfully plan. And so hopefully this will get us off in that right direction. All right. So again, this is the top episode of season three. Before I get to that, I wanted to share one more book review of the new book to give you an idea of what readers and reviewers are saying about it. This review came from Diane of We in France. She recently posted it. She received a copy this fall to review, and she wrote, "Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary, and Discovering Your Best Self" from blogger Shannon Abels makes a great gift for yourself as we head into 2019. It's Shannon's second book, and she explains that it, quote, will help you along the deeper journey to discovering your best self as you begin to trust your intuition and listen to your curiosity, end quote. I feel like sometimes we get too busy or sidetracked to focus on what matters. And by the time we realize something is off, it's that much harder to fix. Shannon shares her tips for cultivating a life you love. I completely agree that the everyday moments are just as worthy of a celebration as the big ones. And thank you, Diane, for sharing that review. And as she said in the comments, always happy to shout out people doing wonderful things. Another reader on that same post shared, "Wonderful book. I just finished it last night. Exactly what the world needs. Thank you." And that comment came from AJ Byrne. One last review, since this is the last day on the podcast that I'll share reviews of the book, came from a woman I greatly admire. And so her words meant the world. This is a review from Susan Herman Loomis, who is the author of En Route à 10, is the author of many cookbooks, one of my favorites I've talked about here on the blog and podcast, and A French Kitchen as well. She teaches French cooking classes in Normandy, France. I'll read an excerpt from her review, but you can read the entire review on her blog, and I'll provide a link on the show notes. She wrote, "Shannon Abels is the friend we all want right next door, or at least in the same town. In her latest book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self, She opens up her ideas, advice, and plain old common sense to readers on so many subjects. Want to move, change careers, say I do, develop your emotional intelligence, sleep on yummy sheets? Shannon gives you tips on how to think about making such decisions, then clearly outlines ways to go about making them happen. I want to thank Susan for her review, and having had the opportunity to just to meet her last week at a cooking class, she is the expert. She is the talent. She is the woman I interviewed on episode 192, which you probably remember. She is truly inspiring. So thank you, Susan. Now, if you are enjoying the book, once you finish it, please do share a review either on Amazon or Goodreads or wherever you purchased or picked up the book. It gives readers an insight into what this tome of a book is about. It is 400 pages. It takes time to get through, and readers have already told me they're going through it in all sorts of different orders, rereading sections that really speak to them or that they want to focus on as they step into the new year. But when you do finish it, it truly does give an idea of this concept that's It's weighty, it's dense. And as you'll see today on the blog, I share a post of pictures that Simply Luxurious Life readers have shared with me, as well as their comments as to how they're enjoying it, what they enjoy doing. And there's one particular one that I'm so excited to share. And they really express how they've incorporated this concept of living simply luxuriously into their life and how it's elevated their everydays. And on the outside, again, it may seem like nothing spectacular to the outside world, but it's a contentment that you're building within yourself. And that's the key. That internal structure is what's going to ultimately elevate every single day, no matter what's going on. And this book takes that to the next level. Now, before I forget, I have also gone on to the book page on the blog to differentiate or explain the difference between the first book and the second book. If you or just want an overview, I'll share with you right now. Ultimately, the first book lays the foundation of what living simply luxuriously is all about. The second book takes it to the next level and shares the tools and skills so that you can tailor and create a singular journey that's unique to you and ultimately allow you to live your most fulfilling life and reach your full potential. So there is a difference between the two. Everyone's going to be in a different place. Some may want to start with the first book. Some may say, no, I've got that figured out. I'm ready for the second book. It really is going to depend on the reader. One other question that readers and listeners have been asking, where's the audiobook for the second book? Because I already have an audiobook out for the first. The second audiobook is coming. I actually ran into some technical difficulties this fall when my external driver, server, whatever we call it, thus I need to learn more, died on me taking my audio files with it. So I'm still going back. So I am still in the process of creating that audiobook. It will come out. The latest will be this summer. Hopefully the soonest will be this spring. Today on the blog, there are also, as I mentioned, another post with regards to readers and their pictures of the new book. And the second post is a post, a brand new post, to wrap up 2018 with regards to feeling closure and expressing gratitude and looking forward with eagerness, contentment, and hope. So if you want to check out some more end of the year inspiration, be sure to stop by the blog today. And tomorrow morning, January 1st, bright and early, a brand new episode of Season 5, The Simple Sophisticate, will be available for download. So on that rare Tuesday, we're going to have an episode. Couldn't start the new year off without an episode. So be sure to tune in to episode 241. Have a wonderful last day of 2018. Bon fin d'année. And here is episode 164, The Importance of a Daily Routine and How to Create One You Love. Welcome to The Simple Sophisticate and episode 164. Today we're going to talk about the daily routine, that sometimes seemingly boring thing if we stick to, and we're going to shift and flip that on its head, because in actuality, having an amazing daily routine is something that will change your life for the better in a variety of ways. And I'm going to help you create one that you love today. Throughout this episode. Before I get to that, I want to talk about today's petit plaisir. This summer, I have been exploring in the kitchen, trying to amp up the health factor, but also keep the deliciousness factor. Is that a phrase? I don't even know if that works. Anyway, I have a recipe that is full of health benefits and is so simple and so versatile that you are going to buy this one particular ingredient and have it as a staple in your cupboard all the time. I have a recipe I cannot wait to share with you, and I will do that at the end of today's episode. But let's get to today's topic. Today's episode is titled The Importance of a Daily Routine and How to Create One You Love. And I want to begin with a quote from a book that I recently read, and I shared it on Instagram when it originally was released. It was released earlier this month, called The Longevity Plan, 7 Life Transforming Lessons from Ancient China by Dr. John D. Day. And I want to begin with one of his quotes. With a healthy lifestyle, it's not at all unreasonable to expect 90 or 100 exceptionally healthy years of life, years in which we will be of sound body, mind, and spirit. And I want to begin with this quote because initially, especially westernized countries, and I can only speak from my experience in America, but these last 3 decades that he talks about, the 80s, 90s, and if we reach that 100 mark into our 100 years, are seen as, why would I want to live that long? And he flips this entirely on its head and says, why wouldn't you want to live that long? And here's how I can make sure that you live a very great life those last 3-4 decades. And I have thoroughly enjoyed reading this book. I have savored it. I have taken time throughout my days, but that's how I've been ending my days as well. And I've been highlighting like crazy. And there's so much to share in it that I had to break it down and share just one thing. But as I'm doing that today, I'm also bringing in various bits and gems and things that he shared throughout that will hopefully let you know what the book's about. And if you appreciate what he's saying, if it speaks to you, I encourage you to go pick the book up because there's a lot of rich detail and research that he shares that if I went into today, it would be a very long episode. So I decided to focus on his recommendation of creating a routine, a daily routine. In other words, creating a rhythm in our life, because that is ultimately a fundamental component to good health. And in fact, as I was reading that book, I was reminded of Benjamin Franklin's autobiography because he, as you guys know, lived in the 18th century from 1706 to 1790, and he wrote an autobiography when he was 20 years old, so in his early 20s. And in part 2, along with his well-known 13 virtues for a good life, and I actually talked about those a couple of years ago on the blog, and I'll provide links to that particular post that breaks those down. He explains in part 2, after he lists these 13 virtues, his approach to bringing order to his life, because order is the 3rd virtue, which states, let all things have their place, let each part of your business have its time. And he includes his daily routine written down to the hour. I'm going to share that with you here in a second. But I couldn't help thinking about his routine, which I just happened to be reading about at the same time I picked up this book, in which he, Dr. John D. Day, recommends we incorporate a daily routine that is healthy, that will then hopefully help, not hopefully, it will improve the overall quality of our life. And why I gravitated toward Benjamin Franklin's daily routine is because it's a very clear schedule. It's not uber detailed. And his goal was to enable him to be what we now know is quite the accomplished individual. And I include a link to the list of all the different things that he was able to do and achieve throughout his life. And this was someone in his early 20s that started doing this routine. He clearly kept to something like this throughout his entire life because he was constantly assessing, he was constantly examining things and seeing what was working, what was not, and responding to what was and wasn't and shifting and tweaking it. Here is the schedule. Very simple. So he breaks it up into morning, noon, and evening, and I'll give you those hours because he breaks it, like I said, down by the hour. So the morning time begins at 5 a.m. and it runs through 8 o'clock. And the question that drives his morning is, what shall I do this day? The tasks that he tells himself to tend to is rise, wash, and address powerful goodness, contrive day's business, and take the resolution of the day, prosecute the present study, and breakfast. So he does that until 8 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock until noon, his task is simply work. Then at noon and running for 2 hours, so until 2 o'clock, his tasks are to read or overlook my accounts and dine. Then it's back to work from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And then his evening runs from 6 to 10. And the question that drives his evening is, what good have I done today? And his tasks are put things in their places, supper, music or diversion, or conversation, examination of the day. And then he goes to sleep at 10 and awakes at 5 o'clock to start the day anew. And I've included this schedule on today's show notes, so you can take a look at it, as well as a link to his full autobiography, which is actually very short, if you're interested. But I think it's very interesting that he has this routine, and in some detail, right? So the breakfast, the supper, work, things like that, and those questions. But in there's also some very general ways to give him flexibility to do what he needs to do. So why exactly is a daily routine significant when it comes to the overall well-being of our lives? If anyone has observed the stability routines provide for children, for students, for pets, and for colleagues, one will be able to acknowledge, so long as the routines are healthy, restorative, invigorating, and based on sound reasons to benefit the individuals to reach their best potential. Routines then are a simple solution to much of what we wish our lives to become: fulfilling, enjoyable, tranquil, and a foundation for moments of spontaneity from which we can springboard from occasionally, all the while knowing we can and will eventually come back to the routine that enabled us to be someone who can think outside the box, who can and feels comfortable taking those risks from time to time. Now, from the routine that I keep with my blog writing to the routine I adhere to in my classroom, as well as with my dogs when I'm at home, the purpose is to gain more energy and not deplete it in myself and in others unnecessarily. My routines are also created to cultivate an environment in which the unexpected, wonderful ideas and experiences and conversations can blossom. Because when we need not worry about our fundamental survival needs, food, shelter, social connectedness, etc., we can then make our way to self-actualization, which I talk in great depth about in episode 25, and I've provided a link for that as well in today's show notes. While some dislike the idea of sticking to a routine, it's boring. That's really the main reason I hear if I ever talk about my routine with people, or they wonder, how do you function? Why do you have to do that every day, all the time? It's because they think it's boring. I will admit freely, there have been routines that I have loathed in the past. Either they didn't work with an approach to good health for my body and my mind, or I was being expected to do tasks that I didn't find meaningful or any purpose in. We will all have times in our lives, especially when we are younger or the newbie on the job, in which the routine we are given is not the routine we would want. The task we are given then, or that we must give to ourselves, is to ask the question and then do the homework: what will work best for me to reach my full potential? So as you contemplate that question right now in your life, I'm going to share with you 7 arenas in your life, so 7 areas in your life that you can consider aligning so that you have a daily routine that involves them that works best for you. The first arena is your eating schedule. Dr. Day's new book, The Longevity Plan, describes in detail a diet, not a temporary one, but a long-term, forever approach to eating well. And he shares this because he, after observing the longevity village in Bapan, China, and all these individuals who are in their hundreds, he, as a doctor, a cardiologist actually, creates this diet approach that will enable each of us to thrive into our 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, and obliterate the Western assumption that old age is a deterioration. Especially what we eat, but as well when we eat, has a powerful effect on our overall health. In fact, he shares, quote, erratic eating schedules have been shown to result in decreased metabolism, which can lead to long-term weight gain.
So there's a motivation to get our eating on a regular daily routine. Number two, the second area is your sleep time. Quote, nobody in Bepen had an alarm clock. When we're hitting at least 7 hours of sleep on a regular basis and a regular schedule, something quite amazing happens. We get the exact amount of sleep our body needs without having to be jarred awake by a buzzer before we're really ready. That is the goal, and it's very doable. I used to be very uncomfortable telling people I went to bed around 8 or 9 o'clock. And I become much more comfortable with that because number one, I'm starting to let go of what people think. But number two, as people get to know me, they start to see how productive I am. And when I bop up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start getting my day going, it does seem early to some people. And I will be honest, when I was younger, and as we know, our brains are developing when we're younger in high school and in college and even in our mid-20s, we need more sleep. So I think it's important to note the difference in growth and age. But as adults, we really just need 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but we still need 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Figure out when you need to wake up in the morning. Maybe you don't need to wake up at 5 o'clock, but then count back 8 hours from whenever you do need to wake up and get those 7 to 8 hours. And who cares what people think about what time you go to bed? This is your life. This is your health. And you want to have that energy, that vitality to live and enjoy the life that you've created for yourself. All right. So that's number two, sleep time. Number three, create a life of motion. Instead of punishing your body with the workout you think is intense enough that you only need to do it 3 to 4 times a week, Dr. Day recommends, based on observing these centenarians in the longevity village in China, simply live a life of movement. Granted, many of our lives don't easily support this if we work at a desk or behind the wheel, but even by adding a standing desk to your office or a walking treadmill, the job you have to do doesn't have to keep you sedentary. Again, he reminds, our bodies were meant to move, not to stay in one place 5 days a week. Consistency is key, and doing what you love is the best way to make it happen. So if you dread the spin class or the run you are determined to take each morning before work, don't do it. Do something you love. Raise your heartbeat enough, but then keep your body in motion throughout the day. Park further away from the front door. Take a stroll after dinner, something that those in Bepan do nearly daily, or go outside for lunch. Create a routine of movement that keeps your body awake and entices you to stay active. Number four, productivity. As witnessed in Franklin's schedule, having a clear objective is imperative to reaching a desired goal. After all, if we don't know what we want to achieve, how can we ever feel productive at the end of the day? I have found one of the few must-have ingredients in a day that I would need to experience in order to call it a good day would be a sense of achievement, progress, accomplishment, or productivity. By no means do any of these things need to be grand or even known or understood by outsiders. But if I put the task of write the introduction to chapter 4 as my objective, it not only gives me something to focus on, but when I do complete the task, I feel as though progress has been made and I feel wonderful at the end of the day. An essential component to being productive is to know what enables each of us to be our most productive selves and create a routine that fosters productivity rather than making it difficult to find our rhythm. Number five, our social lives. Our social lives are far less likely to fall into a daily routine, only because we are engaging with others who also must adhere to a schedule that works best for them. And there will be times, sometimes many, when it will shift. However, the key is to focus on your engagement, how you stay in touch, how much you stay in touch, how you keep your boundaries so you can continue to be productive, and how you can support those you love to accommodate their needs, and they hopefully are doing the same for yours, without sacrificing a quality way of living. Number six, our mindset. A quote from the book, The Longevity Plan. The way in which we choose to perceive and deal with stress is, after all, a tremendous market of biologic age. Studies show that those who embrace stress actually live 17% longer. In contrast, as measured by telomere length, it appears that people who don't effectively manage high levels of stress age their bodies by 9 to 17 years. Shifting from feeling as though we are lacking and rather appreciating all that is going well is a simple way to shift your mindset for the better. The American mindset especially, but we are certainly not alone, tends to work more hours in order to earn more money to buy more or bigger things. But in so doing, we are ratcheting up our stress levels. As well, finding work you enjoy can reduce your stress levels and paradoxically, Dr. Day points out, enable you to be more productive as you are not depleting your energy but rather are enlivened by what you have the opportunity to do. Such an approach is helpful in both our professional and personal environments. Here's a fact to keep in mind. Did you know that 70%, at least 70% of all visits to the doctor are for stress-related ailments? Another way, let's talk about how we can reduce that, all right? Another way to reduce stress is to play. Play not only outside of work, but at work as well. Have fun, lighten up, keep in perspective what is important, and let go and relax about the other things. Quote, when we treat work as play, we change the very nature of work. We rob it of its power to stress us and deplete us of our energy, end quote. Think about someone who turned what they loved doing on the side or out of pure enjoyment into their job. It's possible to do that for yourself. The key is to be able to return to the feeling of pure play, exploration, because it is through play that we learn more as we are fully engaged and not worried about outcomes, but rather enjoying what we are doing. Perhaps you are dismissing the concept that I'm suggesting of playing in your life, let alone at work. Here's another tidbit of information to keep in mind regarding the importance of play in our lives. National Geographic has reported that there is a direct correlation between playfulness and intelligence, since the most intelligent animals engage in the greatest amounts of playful activities. The reason is simple. Intelligence is the capacity for learning, and to play is to learn. End quote. Make room for play. How wonderful of a directive for living well is that? All right, the last area of your life to instill some routine for your daily life is your environment. One of the 7 lessons that Dr. Day advises we all pay close attention to when it comes to cultivating a life of longevity is to place ourselves in a positive environment from the people to the homes to the communities that support healthy living. Where we wake up, the air we breathe, the words we hear, how much technology we consume, the support we receive, the products and furniture we live amongst, the information we consume. Each of these items are details that affect our daily lives, and to live in a positive environment that is supportive and healthy and to wake up in such a place every day is to continue to improve the quality of our lives, as the opposite would be to gradually deplete the quality of our lives. Quote from Dr. Day, yes, our electronic influencers have a powerful impact on the rhythms of our lives, but our bodies want to be in sync with the natural world. So again, that technology that we bring into our lives, that's part of our environment. So how much of that technology is negatively affecting our lives? Can we set a certain time every day where we turn off our technology, or can we set a certain day that we don't look at our technology? How, and I would recommend the daily approach, whatever it is, even if it's just really late at night, instead of 11 o'clock at night, you now plug your phone in your office when you go to bed at 8 o'clock and you don't look at it until the morning. Whatever it is, baby steps, but try to figure out a way to create an environment that is positive and fulfills you and refuels you rather than depletes you unnecessarily. So with each of these areas in which we create a routine, simply do your best. Even Ben Franklin shares in his autobiography about the creation of his daily schedule, quote, I entered upon the execution of this plan for self-examination and continued it with occasional intermission for some time. I was surprised to find myself so much fuller of faults than I had imagined, but I had the satisfaction of seeing them diminish. Even he did not stick to his routine fully each day and took breaks, as he called them, occasional intermission. but he stuck to it the majority of the time, and in so doing saw the quality of his life improve. His routine may not appeal to you, but as he arose each morning with a question and assessed at the end of the day how the day had unfolded, this simple habit is a grand way to determine what is working, what is not, and how can you do better tomorrow. Small corrections can be made at this point, and a pat on the back can then be given as you have done something well each day. So find your rhythm. Create a daily routine that hums your tune, makes you tap your toes in excitement to start the day. Rhythm. Your rhythm. A rhythm that enables you to reach your full potential will be a song that you want to sing again and again and again. Another quote to contemplate. The reason the village people of Bapan in Longevity Village's hearts are in rhythm is because their lives are in rhythm, end quote. It will take time, or maybe for some, not much time at all, because you've already been stepping into a routine and observing what is and isn't working. But now consciously sit down and ask yourself, what works? How can I do more of that? And give it a shot. Each spring and each fall, before my schedule begins in the summer and before school begins in the fall, I sit down and I look at the daily schedule that will work best for me, incorporating routines that will enable me to reach my goals. I love this biennial ritual. To help me make the best schedule, I will reflect back on past year's schedules to see what worked and what didn't and why not. Just this year, I have added something new to my routine, and it's a weekly check-in on my progress along with my nightly journaling. This weekly check-in usually takes place on Sunday evenings after the week has wrapped up and a new week is about to begin. I find myself able to quickly rectify anything that didn't go as planned or get back on track before it goes too off the rails without much of a fuss. I also am reminded and motivated by observing what I have done well, what I have accomplished, what daily routines are producing results that I want, that I've desired. And this is motivation to keep adhering to my daily routines in the next week. Again, this is what works for me. I have always been someone who loves to plan, write it all out, not excessively so, but in a manner that is clear for me to visualize. Do what works for you. But that's the key. What works for you. You want something that's helping you live better, feel better, and creating more energy rather than taking anything away that you don't need to let go of. So nothing that's unnecessary, no unnecessary stress, no unnecessary work or schedule, things like that. Today, consider for a moment the benefits of establishing a daily routine that works for you. Perhaps Dr. Day's list of benefits will provide even more motivation. Quote, the overwhelming majority of cases, cardiac arrest is what he's referring to, perhaps up to 80% can be prevented, and half of the people with arterial fibrillation can reverse their condition through lifestyle changes aimed at eating better food, maintaining a healthy mindset, building supportive communities, staying in motion, and learning to connect with their own rhythms. End quote. And as we create a rhythm in our life that works well for us, we discover more energy to do what we most enjoy. We experience more mental clarity to make sound and successful decisions for the life journey we are on. And as all of these benefits are felt, our overall well-being begins to soar. There is nothing boring about that. I am continued to be reminded that it is us, humans, who make life difficult. Real luxury. The luxury that I speak about and am talking about when I say simply luxurious, the luxury of living a life of quality and true contentment, is actually quite simple. Create a daily routine that enables you to live well and experience your life as it begins to improve. For the show notes, for a link to this book that inspired today's episode, The Longevity Plan, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast164. And I'll be right back with this week's petit plaisir. All right. This week's petit plaisir is farro salad with a variety of different ingredients, but I'm going to share with you what I did for my ingredients and why and where the inspiration came from. So believe it or not, this recipe was inspired in large part by the Longevity Plan book. Not specifically, but more with regards to trying to improve my overall eating approach to eating. And I have also been trying to reduce the amount of sugar in my diet since the new year. And while I still do have refined sugar, every time I have it, I don't feel that well afterwards. Not sick necessarily, but I just don't feel my best self in my skin. And so it's a continual journey that I'm on, but I am slowly finding new things to add to my daily or weekly eating habits that are making me feel better. And also I now know with regards to eating certain ingredients are best for my health. So farro has danced in my mind as a grain to try, but up until about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I must admit I had never tried it. Again, the student must be ready, I guess, as they say. And this student took, yes, admittedly, 38 years to be ready, but ready I finally was. My interest was actually first piqued by an Instagram post that David Leibovitz put up on his feed. And it was a simple picture of a bowl of farro with olive oil and grape tomatoes. And I think he had a little, some herbs. And that's it. It looked delicious. And so I said, that is so simple. I can do this. Let me try it. Let's see if I like the taste. So I did. I went and got some farro at my local market. Very inexpensive, less than $5. And I did exactly what his recipe called for. And I loved the nutty, chewy flavor of farro. And then ironically, I went out to dinner at one of my new favorite restaurants here in town, the French Market, with some friends. And on their menu was this dish with farro as the main ingredient. And they topped it with a poached egg and tomatoes and avocado. And it was exquisite. Okay, so I was becoming quickly a convert to farro at this point. And so I began to play with another recipe that involved similar ingredients as to what I just had with these other two experiences. And this is what I've come up with. You can just use olive oil. You do not need to make a fancy vinaigrette, by the way. But I did include a recipe for a garlic vinaigrette that's very simple. And I found one time that I made it last week, I had extra chickpeas left over from another salad recipe that I shared on the blog. I made some zucchini noodles with arugula and some lemon vinaigrette, and I had some chickpeas that were going to go in as well. So I decided to throw the chickpeas into the salad. Well, the next time I made it, I did add the avocados, as you see in the picture in the post. You will see that I also topped it with a poached egg, and it just is the simplest salad. It's so versatile. You can put whatever you want with it. In fact, one of my followers on Instagram shared with me that she makes a big batch of farro to begin the week. And she actually has farro for breakfast in the morning with different ingredients still, some kale and her favorite breakfast item. So it's really a versatile item. It's an excellent source of protein. Obviously a great source of fiber, as you can get 20% of your daily recommended intake in simply one cup of farro, and it helps regulate your blood glucose levels. Say that 10 times fast. And also because it's high in fiber and protein, it's going to help you stay fuller longer. This is exactly why I eat steel oats in the morning. I've never had farro for breakfast, but it's a similar concept. Farro does keep me fuller longer. After the five times that I've had farro in the last 2 weeks, I can attest to that fact. Absolutely. So I've included a recipe. I list a lot of optional ingredients that you can use, but there are so many more you can. It really is about going to your fridge and saying, okay, what do I have for leftovers and how can I add it? A way to incorporate even more protein is just add grilled chicken to the top of it. And you'll see that in my picture as well. So check out the recipe. It's so simple. The longest part of the recipe is waiting for the farro to cook, and that's completely passive. You can be off doing something else for 30 minutes. But I would highly advise to toast the farro before you put the water in with it and bring it to a boil. It just brings out that nutty flavor even more, and it's so simple. You just toast it, dry toast it in a skillet or in the pan you're going to make it in, the saucepan, for 2 to 3 minutes. It's so easy, and it does bring out more of that flavor. So simple, so truly delicious. And I think you'll find you're going to want to have farro in your pantry for those days that you just want a simple meal, but you want to know that it's healthy, but also going to be delicious and satisfying. You can find the recipe on the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast 164. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up my new book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self. You can also pick up my first book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, which is available now in paperback, ebook, and audio versions on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes, or wherever books are sold. To stay caught up on the most recent episodes of the podcast, blog posts, my new cooking show, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your weekend, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a morning cup of coffee. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Ables. Bonjour.